Welcome to another episode of the Skokie Podcast. Sitting here post-Thanksgiving on a Monday morning with my boy Plotter Roo. Plotter Roo, how you doing? How was the holiday, buddy?
It was good, man. Good to see my dad, who's just had some surgery, and got to see his side of the family, which was I haven't done that in a while because I got my own family. It was the first Thanksgiving I spent without my kids, my wife, which was kind of interesting, but. I'm back home. Things are back to normal now. And how about you? How was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, buddy. Well, hopefully your dad's going to help with the surgery. Everything ends up well. Obviously, we're always for the family, for the Plotkins. Go Plotkins, as we all know.
One, two, three.
It was good. It was just, you know, low-key. My parents hosted, so we were all here at the house. So it was nice. It was nice seeing everybody. Good seeing family, you know. Time kind of, I realized the last couple of years, time kind of flies by way too quickly. So it's good to kind of take the moments to enjoy with your family when you can. So not to get too sobby here on a Monday morning quarterback. So, but let's move on. Let's get into it, man. We got, we're coming down to 3 weeks left here in the season after this week. And it's getting down to the nitty gritty with all the playoff contenders and a lot of big deals this past week with people, you know, trying to get that last minute to Jeffrey trade deadline coming up on Wednesday. And let's get to it. A couple huge deals this week. AK, after getting criticism last week on the pod from me and you, from having weak sauce quarterbacks, and that's going to be his downfall, ends up spending $21 to get Kyler Murray. So absolutely a huge deal for him, which we'll break down in a moment. And then the other deal, obviously, was Danny Boy, the New York Yankees of the Skokie Heads League, yet again spending more money from next year, dishing out 15 to pick up Mike Evans. So a couple of huge deals. Let's start with the AK deal. Obviously, you know, you were a part of that. What are your thoughts on that, first things first?
No, I mean, it was hard to let him go, and he did. He hit his floor this week. You know, he's gonna has a chance to throw him a couple touchdowns. He's got that rushing ability to rush for a touchdown. So I feel like Kyle Murray moving forward with getting Hollywood Brown back and Hopkins, that's kind of his floor, which is exactly what Aaron needs because he's got pieces all over the place. So I think it was a good trade for him, obviously, and he's right there and. The mix of it, even he's still in contention to get the bye too. So, yeah. he knows he's in it. So, I think it was a good deal for him.
Yeah, I thought it was a good deal both ways. I mean, you guys, you're getting money for next year, obviously, at this point after last week. You know, your team's ready to sell. So, I mean, definitely, I mean, that's huge. I mean, $20 for Kyler Murray, I think, you know, it's definitely great value right now at this point in the year. And then for Aaron also, I mean, he needed to have that other QB. I think Kyler Murray is, for, like you said, poised for a pretty big second half here. He showed he could put up monster stats in the past. He's got Hopkins, he's got Brown. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it's a pretty fair deal both ways. The other deal, Danny Boy just kind of keeps spending money out there, just keeps trying to trade, just hoping to just get it, to take it down this year to get another title, obviously, a New York Yankees-style title. Can you hear me, by the way?
Yeah, I can. Yankees title, okay. That's a good joke.
Yeah, sorry. I thought I heard a little commotion there. But yeah, I mean, I think Danny seems getting hot. I take back what I said about the T. Higgins deal a few weeks ago because T. Higgins has definitely been a huge asset to him and Prescott at that. But I don't believe in this deal. I think Mike Evans, I think it really worked out well for you here that you got 15 more bucks for Mike Evans, who's really been struggling. I mean, yeah, he might turn on at some point, but I just don't see it. I think Godwin's the guy there right now. And I think that was kind of unnecessary money from Dan. He could have traded up for another receiver, maybe Juju or somebody like that who's a little bit less value, might have a better chance at the end of the year. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
For as long as I had Evans, I was a believer in him. And now that he's off my roster, I see it. He's garbage. He drops so many passes. The ball hits his hands all season long. I can't tell you how many times I saw him drop passes that could have been touchdowns or end zone, red zone targets that he just doesn't catch. And, I don't know. I was happy to get – what I got for him. And Daniel had to sweat it out. He made a little gaffe this week. When we were discussing the trade, I was like, well, when do we need to make this, you know, pull this trigger on this? You know, you want it before Sunday. And I even asked him who he was giving up. I asked him who he was giving up, but I didn't realize he was playing on Thursday night. Obviously, he didn't either. So he had to sweat out, if Evans was going to end up, you know, making a difference in this game. But obviously he blew me out and, he also started Wilson, who had a monster game versus starting Evans. But I don't think that would have made a difference, even if the trade went through or we made the trade before the Thanksgiving games. The thing with Evans, though, is he is, you know, even though I owned him since week four and he hasn't scored a touchdown, and he is like, that's what he's known for, is getting the end zone. So I wouldn't be surprised if he, you know, if Daniel does start him and he finds the end zone. But he's just not, yeah, he's not what he was in the past few seasons, because he was, you know, a touchdown leader for so. But I mean, he had more depth to it. You know, he's all in. I don't think he cares. It's a future Daniel problem for him.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, and I mean, he's definitely. I mean, I thought the Joe Mixon deal was a good deal. I thought as well. I mean, even though Joe Mixon was out due to a concussion, but I mean, we criticized him on the T. Higgins thing. T. Higgins has been a beast the last couple of weeks, and he's been a difference maker, and he might be a difference maker in the playoffs. And so, and Mike Evans can turn around. So I still think this deal favors you a little bit. I think I probably would have spent maybe 10 to 12 on Mike Evans, but maybe you wouldn't have given him up for that much. So either way, but time will tell us what will happen with this. So the New York Yankees always make the postseason and have not been able to seal the deal lately since the early 2000s. Hopefully Danny Boy can prove us wrong and Goki has a version of that. So let's get to the matchups, man. Big week, obviously. You know, a lot of playoff implications. The Sellers have sold at this point, and, you know, it's like whoever plays the Sellers at this point usually has an easy win, except for Team Turb, who's kind of been an oddball lately, still hanging around. But let's get to the highest scoring matchup of the week to start things off. And it was a really big matchup playoff-wise. Team Raffle, now name change, by the way, Raffle Man, taking down Way of the Shark, 184 to 131. Monster day week for Fiala, monster performance, obviously already getting the win, and high points for the week. I think it's high point total altogether for the season, I'm pretty sure. But so great moves by Fia, man. I mean, you know, a lot of people criticize Fia for not paying attention, but he went out and picked up Mitch White here, and which was a huge play with 29.8 points against the Bears' terrible defense. Amon-Ra St. Brown has been turning it around lately since his injury. He's been a beast. I really like him. And then Josh Jacobs, man. I mean, he's had some really potent games and really went off this past week. Team Fia's come in together, man. You know, you and I liked him a lot early in the year, and then he kind of stopped paying attention. We kind of got off of him. I think Raffle, man, with the name changes, looking kind of hot again. I don't know. I'm kind of liking it. So, Way of the Shark, you know, still put up decent points. Going to make the playoffs. You know, we'll see. Not really loving anything. I mean, I think Way of the Shark has a chance if James Conner can play well. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think G&E, definitely the Way of the Shark. If Conner continues to play like this, and he could benefit from having, you know, Hollywood and Hopkins on the outside. You know, the team's going to put so much focus on that, you know, Connor can, if he can play like this, that's a huge benefit for him. You know, Lamar hasn't really been Lamar for the last few weeks. He really needs him to pick up. Geno's been pretty solid, but yeah, I mean, with the way Grant's team is right now and Meikle's team, we'll get to in a bit. His team has kind of struggled, the last few weeks. I mean, if Grant can get himself into the, you know, the championship or the semifinal game against Bastard, it's anyone's chance, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And a couple things that I forgot to mention too. Like, I mean, Geno's been a beast, man. I mean, I haven't been in my other league. Like, I mean, that was a great pickup. And then we forgot to mention in the trades too, Dante Foreman, if I'm pronouncing it properly, traded for $3 from Team Turb to Team G.E. Deffin. I thought that was a good deal for Grant, man. I mean, Dante Foreman, I mean, look, yeah, he hit 13 points this past week. When he plays a shitty defense, that guy can put up monster. And Denver's not a bad defense. I mean, but he can put up monster games. I mean, I thought $3 was great value on that deal. So now he has him stashed in the running back position he was weak at. He's got Zeke back. He's got Connor looking good. So, I mean, you know, Way of the Shark, like you said, yeah, he might be finding his way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, one thing with Grant, who kind of, you know, we had talked because we were both a couple weeks ago that we were kind of both in it, but our team wasn't that good compared to the teams that have been buyers. And you know, I was kind of like, you know what, I'm gonna wait to see if I'm gonna make it, and then I might be a buyer. And I was like, maybe you should just do that too. And he's like, I was like, just, you know, let me know. We could talk once we know. And he's like, yeah, you'll be the first person that I call. And then he goes and makes a deal with Turb, and Grant said that he was just peppering him with offers. So Turb, your annoyance paid off for you. You got your three draft dollars that are probably going to be proved to be absolutely useless, because what's three more dollars? But you you did a good job, Turb. You know what? I hope it's another reason where maybe your team could have made the playoffs if you didn't trade all your players. But yeah, Grant and I still might make a deal. I don't know what I can offer. I feel like my team definitely laid an egg the last couple weeks, so my players have pretty much no value. But yeah, I mean, $3 for a starter on a team that doesn't really have much offense outside of him is a pretty solid deal for him, I guess.
Yeah, that was a solid deal. So anyway, yeah, we'll see what happens. Obviously, those are, both teams at this point, definitely, obviously, doing their thing. And at this point, looking to stay in the playoffs. So moving on, unfortunately, a lot of blowouts this week. No close matchups going into tonight. But the other, playoff-oriented matchup here was Team Weitzman versus the Skokie Indians. It was supposed to be a close, high-scoring battle. Team Weitzman kind of coming back after, we said the last couple of weeks they've been underperforming. Are they really going to maintain the one seed? Well, Tony came out and just kind of laid the smack down this week, putting up 168. Jalen Hurts did his thing. Great pickup with San Fran's defense this week. And one of the things Tony does very well, man, I mean, y'all know Tony and his ways, but he does a great job hanging on to guys and kind of being patient. Like Rashad White is a guy that I'm pretty sure he's held on to all year, I think. And I mean, that's kind of impressive when it's slim roster pickings to kind of have bench spots. And now he's got a starter as long as Leonard Fournette's out. So Tony's team showed up. The Indians, like you said, man, kind of been scuffling lately. They were the team that you and I have been hot on, and we thought that they were going to kind of take over and make a run and challenge Bassinger. But it's looking more like G.E. Deppen are kind of getting hot right now. And the Indians, the one thing Mitchell told me when I was trying to trade him Kamara, he's like, Kamara's not worth more than $8. And I kind of laughed at that. But after the last couple of weeks, he may have been right. I mean, Kamara putting up 2 fumbles and 4 points for him, and that's just terrible. And his team's got to pick it up, man. I mean, he's gonna need more out of Mahomes to kind of pick it up here. Swift's been a huge disappointment as a keeper. So, yeah, I'm thinking the Indians are on their way down, and Team White's been kind of doing their normal thing. But what's your take?
I mentioned to it before. There's still, 2 weeks left. He could definitely – it's almost like – a good thing for him to be playing bad now. Maybe his team can kind of figure it out, in a couple of weeks when it matters. Cause right now, he's locked in. If he's, going to have any success, his team's going to obviously have to turn it around, but there's time. I wouldn't say he's out of it. I mean, if his team keeps playing like this, I think his running back situation is, it needs some help. You mentioned about Kamara and Swift has kind of been, run out of that situation. And good job being quiet, Josh.
I don't know how to use this antiquated system.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Bassinger.
just mute your mic. Or now that you're here, then I guess he's muted. All right, well we'll get to him in a second.
We wanted to do some formally, but he popped in.
Yeah, well, maybe we could edit this out. But anyways, I don't know what I was talking about. I know Mitchell's got a couple weeks to figure it out. I just can't count him out. Let's keep this moving so we can talk about some soccer.
Yeah. We'll keep going down the line here. Team OMD versus Team Pickles. So at this point, a playoff buyer versus a seller. We know the result. Another blowout, obviously. Just a quick synopsis on Danny's team. Kind of did what he needed to do. But the one thing I'll say about Dan that I'm surprised with the rest of the league, with the rest of the contenders, the fact that he was able to snag Samaje Perine, pretty pathetic to see the rest of the playoff contenders not be to even think about that. That was a great pickup this week and a guy that might be valuable to him with Joe Mixon down the stretch. So Danny Boy paying attention, doing a good job, and Garrett Wilson turning it up with Mike White might be kind of sexy coming down the stretch for him here. So we'll see. But he's got Raffleman to contend with, so.
I think with the trades that we do now or that we've done this season, I think people have kind of gone to that to improve the roster instead of the finding players like Perine off the waiver wire. I mean, Daniels always does a good job of backing up his running backs. He always has the backup in case someone gets injured. That's kind of his I would say that's his signature move is he always has the player that if he goes down, he has him to plug in. It worked out good for him. But yeah, I feel like the waiver wire definitely there isn't as much activity, or people aren't like, oh, I got to make a move this week because the season. What's that?
I said they're trying to trade draft dollars instead.
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, Moving on, Munford Sutton, you know, again, facing Papa Smurf, another selling team. Munford Sutton taking care of business this past week. But it's been putting up a good total, putting up 150. Justin Jefferson deal with a stack of Cousins has been really, really good for him. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, picking up Kyler Murray to solidify that QB2 position. So we'll see, man. He finally sold on Wilson. Wilson finally, you know, I think a lot of us, I give up on Wilson in my other league too. And Eckler's been obviously the best keeper in the league, one of the best. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Munford Sutton just kind of keeping his playoff run going, and I think he'll be thereabouts in the end.
All right, did we go through them all? Did we talk about Terps' team?
And then lastly, I think the last one is Terps' team. Yeah, just really quick on all well, Team Bassinger beat Draft Dalhalla. I mean, not much to say there. Team Bassinger looking decent as always, you know. And then Team Terp getting the win, putting up pretty high points up against Team Suvisu. One commentary I'm going to make on Kim Jong really quick before we talk about anything else, move on to Bassinger. You know, I love Terp. You know, obviously, I know he had no running back depth. But I'm looking at his team now. Like, he's got Pacheco. He's got Brian Robinson. I mean, he's got these running backs all of a sudden. And like, I don't know if he got any of them from trades. But, I mean, Terp's team could have been competitive, man. He almost could have made the playoffs even after the trades he made. But, I mean, I get why he made those deals and his choice for next year. It is what it is. But just interesting that his team is actually still pretty good right now. You know what I mean? But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like I said, most people are focusing on the trades to improve their team, while Terp has been kind of picking off players off the waiver wire to improve his team. And that proved, you know, well for him last year, because he did that to help, you know, the playoff run last season. Was he was picking up players up that ended up having good stretches down the stretch.
And really,
Jeff brought it up today that, you know, could Terp, he's technically not out of it, but I mean, it's a long shot. I think Pizza would really have to, he would have to go without getting a victory point, you know, two games where he scores, you know, in the bottom half, which would be pretty difficult with some of these rosters because of teams that have traded. So,
yeah, and the one thing I'll say really quick about Terp, though, he's doing a good job picking up some assets that he might be able to trade by Wednesday. I mean, you guys like Pacheco, guys like, even like Watson. Watson's been a beast, man. Watson's been one of the best receivers the last 3 weeks. I mean, you gotta, you know, you gotta maybe give him some credit for that. But anyway, nonetheless, your season's probably done. So,
all right, let's do a proper introduction now. Our resident soccer head of Skokie Heads, Josh Bassinger. He wanted to talk some soccer. I wanted to hear his take. I know everyone kind of is kind of interested in the soccer, but they don't really know anything like myself. Let's hear your thoughts on the big matchup, Josh, tomorrow versus Iran.
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, I wanted to make a note that I was really disappointed that my bench also beat Jeff today or yesterday. Which is just disappointing because I won't get that point because I left a lot of points on the fucking bench. Miles Sanders, killing me. Anyways, no, I mean, for the game tomorrow, I think, you know, it's going to be very nerve-wracking. I'll probably take Costa's negativity to this because, you know, the biggest problem the U.S. has is finishing in the final third. And it's just not been there. We don't have a nine or a striker that can put it in the back of the net at all, or any sort of presence there. So, you know, it's my, you know, kind of overall, it's just not good. Like, you know, we need creativity there. We need to bring in the new stars, which is Gio Reyna, who's 19, is the by far the best, the most talented soccer player that we've ever had coming out. Like, he's got the most technical ability by a lot. And the fact that he's only played 7 minutes is kind of mind-boggling, knowing in our last game that we had with England, a tie or a loss didn't matter. And we kind of looked like we were trying to go for the win, but then held up and thought that a 0-0 tie would be good for football as a whole, for soccer as a whole in the United States, which it's probably not. Like, go for it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Anyways, quick take.
So soccer to me is like, when you're going for it, like, what if you're going for it, how much does that put pressure on your defense? Like, I feel like they're, like you said, they have no striker. Why can't they just add more pressure on the offense end? Like, is it that, is it going to put that defense and their goalie in that much more of a compromised position if they go for it? Why are they playing it safe?
Well, they weren't. So I guess two things. They came out in a different formation. It was a 4-4-2 instead of a 4-3-3. What that basically meant in layman's term is they wanted their center backs, the inside defenders, to play the ball, and they didn't want their playmakers, their midfielders in the middle of the field with the ball with creativity. They did a really good job at that. However, 60 minutes into the game, people are tired. They need it. Like, so to answer your question, the pressure that they would put on is by putting on more offensive focus on the field. And they just didn't, they just decided not to do that. They decided, hey, we're playing better than England is right now, but England was happy with the tie. With the tie, England is through, right? That part of the reason I think England played the way they did is because they didn't need to win. And we can go toe for toe with them, and they just can't play again. So putting more pressure on them, yeah, bringing people up, you know, having more people, kind of on their half of the field in the final third, which we did somewhat of a good job of, but we didn't really do, we could have done better. We could have put more off, we needed to put Aronson on, in the 65th minute, not the 78th minute. And we need to bring Reyna in at the, at least the 70th minute. Give him 20 minutes out there. He's the only one besides Pulisic that can dribble through people. So that's kind of it. I'm hoping that they decide to not go with a traditional number nine for this game against Iran, and they'll take a different approach and put Tim Weah, who's been a winger, put him, who's played in the past at the nine spot, and put him there, and then basically from there bring in either Reyna or Aronson to start on the wing. But I don't think, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Berhalter is going to do that. So, I mean, looking back at the game against England, I thought they had the coach had a really good plan. It was executed really well, but the in-game substitutions were hot shit.
I look at it like from a kid that played soccer back in the day, so I don't get any of this strategy to it. But besides the U.S., looking into the tournament, I think Germany was one of the favorites. They're struggling. Who now is the favorite to win? Is it France?
Brazil and France are probably the top two. I haven't looked at where they are slated on there, so I don't know. Like, if they have to play each other beforehand. But I would say Brazil, France, and I put this in quotation, star course to win it still is Argentina. I think Argentina is going to make it out. Nice little wake-up call they had, which meant nothing because Mexico or Poland couldn't get the 3 points they needed to make it mean something. And so, therefore, I think I'd be worried. I wouldn't want to be playing Argentina right now, if they get a point.
I can get behind that with Messi. I think this is going to be his last World Cup. It'd be cool to see him on the world stage.
Yeah. He's gonna get his world. He might get a World Cup, or he'll get a chance hopefully, and then he'll jump on come to Miami and make retire and be the best player in the MLS.
Yeah. Right now, Brazil is plus 230, so they're pretty heavy. They're like a little over 2-1 right now, and then France is 5-1 as a second choice, and then everybody else, starting with Argentina, is like 7-1. So, Brazil pretty much still a heavy favorite. A little sleeper team that I like is Croatia at 49-1, kind of a little sleeper there in case anybody wants to dribble. But the one thing I'll say really quick, that was great analysis by Bass. Flocken, I best answered all your questions, but it is very hard, like, for a team to be on the on the extra attack, like you see in hockey, like on a power play a lot of times. It's hard to bring an extra guy in soccer because if the other team gets on a counterattack, it's really easy for them to score at that point. So I get that conservativeness, but you can't cut up with Iran, man. You know me, I'm a pessimistic fan in the first place. I'm surprised by the spread. The USA right now is even money to win, and the draw is like plus 240, so you're getting a little like 2.5 to 1. This game's going to draw. I just don't see. I think it's going to be 0-0 or 1-1. I don't see USA getting more than one goal. And I think all Iran has to do, man, is tie to get through. They're going to play back and just kind of sit back the whole game. It's going to be really hard for the U.S. to do anything. So
sounds like it's going to be really boring to watch, too.
Yeah.
No, I actually I disagree, because the U.S. is give the U.S. about 15 minutes to settle in, and they have to win, so they're going to have to throw people forward, and they are going to be playing. They'll, if it comes down to it, they'll only have the goalie back essentially. Like they're going to full tilt. It's not going to happen right away, but they're going to be throwing everything they got up front. There'll be action.
I hope so. One last question. So if they do win, how does the seeding go for the tournament? Is it based on like scoring differential? With us, if they get in, they win by one, are we going to be facing one of the, the Brazil or France in the first matchup?
I thought it was random, but I'm not sure. If that's...
No, I mean, you play, I don't know what group we play, but we play the top. So it's an intermix, right? So we play the top, like assuming that England doesn't tie and we don't win by more than three, right? Because then we would be the top in the group. Then assuming we're the number two in the group, we play the number one of a different, I haven't even looked.
Like group A? Like, would that be like group A, group B? C versus D,
yeah.
E versus F.
I mean, I yes. can,
so we,
yeah.
So like, go ahead. Netherlands is right now currently number one in group A. So maybe that's who we would play then.
Yeah, I'm trying to look right now, but is that what it says on there?
No, that's not what it says. That was just my thinking.
No, you're actually right. It is.
Okay.
It is. Well, it says 1A. We're group B, so 2B plays 1A.
Yeah. Okay.
So
cool.
I think. But yeah, just hope that they. Hopefully, it should be a fun. I mean, it should be a fun game to watch. It will be nerve wracking. If you care, I would agree with Costa that I wouldn't bet them to win, but they could win. But the thing is, two things to change that, right? One, if they score a goal, then I think will open up a ton, because Iran has to get that goal back. And then the other thing is, if Wales somehow puts a goal on the board right away, then Wales is going to be forced, then they're going to be forced to open up too. Because if Wales somehow beats England, then Iran does not pass with a tie.
Interesting.
So,
all right, cool. What time is the England game on before?
They're simultaneous. That's not a word, but they're at the same time.
Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. Hopefully it helps. I'll write something up tomorrow and be pissed when they lose. But yeah.
All right, guys.
Good to hear your beautiful voice, Bash.
Yeah, it's excited to be here for the first time. Maybe we can move this up to Zoom next time. I don't know what I'm doing.
All right, it's been a pleasure, boys.
All right.
All right, man.
Have a good one, guys.
Talk.
Bye.
Later.